Hi, this is Shaylin Hudson. I make candles for Scene Creations, and the price is anywhere from $3 to $8. If you'd like to contact me about purchasing any, you could call me at 907-401-1095.
You have a Facebook page? No? Hello, and welcome to Horror After Hours. Coming to you from the Naughty Guy studio, I am your host, the Naughty Guy, Adam J. Joining me tonight is my good friend from Swatting Flies and Telling Lies. This is Bruce. Bruce, hello, and welcome back to Horror After Hours.
What up? What up? What's up?
It's good to have you on, man.
Sorry, I think that's from the opening of Martin.
Oh, yeah. That was a fun one.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Tonight, we're going to talk about a very special film to both of us. This is a dramatic comedy, and this is Teachers from 1984. It's directed by Arthur Hiller, starring Nick Nolte as Alex Jarrell. Jo Beth Williams, who plays Lisa Hammond, also played the mother in Poltergeist.
Mm. That's who I recognized her from then, huh?
Yep. And Judd Hirsch plays Roger Rubel of the TV show Taxi.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else he was from?
He was on another TV show called Dear John.
Well, no, I meant like movie-wise.
No, actually, I don't.
He played Jeff Goldblum's father in Independence Day.
That's right, yes. I forgot
about
that.
He's the one who said, come on, put a sweater on. You're gonna catch a cold that way. And then he's like, a cold? That's how we beat the aliens.
That was pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
We have also got Art Matrono, who plays Troy. And this guy also played Lieutenant, Captain, and Commandant Mauser in mm-hmm. Police Academy. He looks so different with that beard, and he's this big dude.
Yeah.
Big as the PE teacher.
Yeah, they... He definitely didn't look that jacked in the Police Academy movies. He kind of looked a little more plump.
Yeah, he did. another one coming up here is Richard Mulligan, who plays Herbert Gower. He also starred in a great TV sitcom called Empty Nest, and he played Dr. Harry Weston. Now, that show ran for 7 years, and that was a great show. I love that one.
I didn't care for it, but I liked him in The Heavenly Kid.
Yes. Yeah, he was hell of an actor, but he died in like 2000.
Oh, okay. And then don't forget Ralph Macchio and Crispin Glover.
Oh yeah, I'm getting to them.
Okay.
Ralph Macchio plays Eddie Palikian, who also played as the Karate Kid. We got Crispin Glover, who plays Danny Reese. This guy has had various acting roles like Willard, Charlie's Angels. The list goes on with him.
Back to the Future.
Yeah. We got Laura.
Oh, he had a small role in Friday the 13th.
Yes, he did. Part 4.
Yep. If you look up Crispin Glover dancing, you won't be disappointed.
Oh, man. I forgot about that all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Another one we have is Laura Dern, who plays Diane, a 16-year-old student. She was also in Jurassic Park.
The mom, right?
Yeah.
Jurassic Park.
Yep.
Yeah. That's where I recognized her from.
Another big name in this movie was Morgan Freeman, who had this full head of hair.
Oh, he looked fucking glorious, man.
He played Alan Lewis in this movie.
He hasn't aged much, to be honest.
No, he hasn't.
And he's held up. His hair is white. That's about it.
He's held up really well.
Yeah.
We have another actor named Royal Dano. Now, this guy is famous for playing villains in westerns, and he's also he was in Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Mm-hmm.
He was in House 2, The Second Story, Ghoulies 2. The list goes on with this guy.
Yeah.
And another one is Alan Garfield, who plays Carl Rosenberg. You're going to remember him from Beverly Hills Cop 2 as the L.A. police chief.
Yep.
Now, you can see this is an all-star cast.
Yeah.
Great movie. Had a budget of $9 million and brought in over $27 million at the box office.
Which is pretty good for 1984.
Yeah. Now, Teachers is a 1984 American satirical black comedy, drama, you know, whatever. It was directed by Art Hiller. It was shot in Columbus, Ohio, mostly at the former Central High School. At the time of its release, the film held a rating of R with the MPAA rating system. Bob Seger composed the music for the film, and it was a top 20 hit for Seger in 1984. Now, I think the plot goes, high school teacher Alex Jarrell, played by Nick Nolte, has gone from idealistic to pessimistic. His classroom methods come under scrutiny when a former pupil sues him for not ensuring student literacy. The arrival of Lisa Hammond, played by Jo Beth Williams, the lawyer assigned to the case, only makes things worse. She's one of Alex's former star pupils. When Alex tries to help the other students, he just gets into more trouble with the timid principal, played by William Shallert, and the school board. Do you have any thoughts on this movie?
Yeah, I was just waiting for you to finish the plot, then I was going to dive in head first, actually.
Yeah, go for it.
I saw conflicting reports. One said that Bob Seger was the man behind the soundtrack, and the other one said Freddie Mercury. And I looked; both of them have songs on there.
Yeah.
So and like you look it up, like if you guys want to. I mean, I know I'm huge on soundtracks because that we can't have one without the other. You could have a great soundtrack, but like if you have even if you just have a good movie, it fucking brings it up.
Yep.
But both of them. Like, this soundtrack's, like, surprisingly good, and I just don't remember it because it came out in 1984, and like we discussed yesterday, somewhere in the 90s, man, I just stopped seeing this movie. I played on TV.
Yeah.
Now, given there was more content on HBO, Showtime, and Cinemax, so you're getting the newer stuff out there as opposed to when HBO just came out, and we got it finally in the 80s, this is just one of the movies in the 80s that was in heavy rotation.
Yeah, it was.
And like, it was one of those times that it wasn't odd to see a rated R movie played during the day. Now, they kind of got away from that for a little bit. Now, it's just kind of whatever. Satellite TV. But anyway, no, I like the soundtrack. I like Bob Seger's song actually plays in the end credit scene, I believe.
Yeah, it was.
Freddie Mercury's song plays, I think... in the build-up to what eventually happens to the teachers and the students and the cops in this movie. But, no, I enjoyed this movie. It was, at first I was kind of over the fact rewatching it last night by, what I was over was the whole Nick Nolte playing the gruff guy who makes his voice like this. Angry grunts.
Yeah.
So I'm saying this shit to myself, and I'm enjoying the movie, and then his character just, it evolves to the point where, like, okay, I'm going to let it go, but, like, first scene with him, he's like, oh.
Yep.
And it's you go back to a lot of the 80s movies, and whether it's the fucking gruffy fucking teenager, the gruffy fucking rough around the edges teacher or cop that Nick Nolte eventually plays.
Yep.
They're covered with a blanket. The phone rings. You just see a hand come out. Oh, there's a fucking empty can of beer there. I'm not going to grab that, but I might. I'll throw down the fucking alarm clock. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. Stay away from this 80s trope. But like I said, eventually it went on. And you actually see his character evolving. We don't learn why. At least, unless I missed it, we don't learn why he went from a really optimistic teacher, because he won the 1973, or was it 72, Teacher of the Year Award.
I can't remember exactly right off, but yeah, he was a very idealistic teacher.
Yeah.
I think it may have been 1974.
Yeah. So that was just one of those things that, you know, you, I guess you just kind of left to your own devices, I guess, just seeing repeatedly how the system pushes a student through. Now, I could speak to this because I got tried to get pushed through the system. I just fucked off a lot, all the time, actually. Never wanted to do homework. Now, big surprise there. People don't want to do homework. People like to fuck off. Well, the Metlakatla Elementary School tried to push me to sixth grade. My dad's the one who stopped it. My dad was like, fuck no. Fuck you guys, no. He needs to learn. You guys aren't teaching him, and you want to push my son through a system that he's never going to learn from. No. He wants to fuck around. I'm the parent. Leave him in fifth grade. And it's just like, damn, okay. So, forgetting that part of the plot, when I saw that yesterday, it immediately struck a nerve with me in a good way. Mm-hmm. You know, I still fucked around, but I did.
So did I.
But I still learned. But yeah, it's just, you see that, it's just like, damn, like, the best movies are the ones you could relate to, you know? So,
no shit.
Finding out that that's what the plot was, I was like, holy shit, man, that literally happened to me, man. Like I said, I had failing grades, man, and they tried pushing me to sixth grade. My dad said, no, that's not how this works. My son's going to learn, and he's going to learn to not be a fucking little smartass. Didn't work, but I did learn. So seeing that, when the plot developed into that, I was like, holy shit, man, that happened to my ass. But then you start meeting the cast of characters in this movie, and then his former student who comes back, you see that, and it's just like, oh shit, okay, well, that's another thing you could relate to. Like, now, none of us became lawyers, but I mean, we definitely had, I've talked to a few teachers as, like, I ran into Mrs. Groko in 2007.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, I was on the airport ferry going across, sat down, it was crowded, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked over, I'm like, holy shit, is that Mrs. Groko? And I just fucking stared at her, and she got up and left. I got up and followed behind her, and you could see her kind of clutch her shit. Now, she was this over-polarizing teacher that I was so scared of.
We all were.
When I got up to her, Adam, she was maybe up to my shoulder.
No shit.
I said, Mrs. Groko? And she's like, you know, maybe it was Bruns, but I think she went through divorce. But she was like, I was like, did you teach him at Metlakatla? And she was just like, yeah. You know, like, fuck, man. You know, like, and I said, it's me, it's Bruce. And then she, like, you could see her untense and her shoulders dropped, and she went, little Brucey? And I said, well, I go by Bruce, but that's neither here nor there. How are you? Holy shit, I thought that was you. And you could just see her just kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, he's not going to rob me. He's just quitting. So when she goes back in this movie and talks to her former teacher, and then little by little, you know, her being a lawyer, and then she's just questioning him on, you know, why, you know, we got to fix the system, blah, blah, blah. And it's a very good contrast and shit, because you got one side of the lawyer where I think we've all been at least one time where we think one thing, and that's the only thing we're going to think. Like, no, all you got to do is the right thing. That's all you got to do. Why can't you do that? And then you see the teacher side, and he's like, what did he say to her? Until you actually walk naked down the hallway and let people look at you, you're not going to understand.
Yep.
What these kids go through every day, because sometimes the parents don't give a shit, and then throw in the fact that they're probably abused at home, which turned out to be the case with Macchio's character.
Yes.
Which is crazy. Think about this, man. So there's... Oh, go ahead, man. I'm taking over your shit.
No, keep going.
There's a few things that... actually, there's a lot of things that stuck out. One of the things, and I had fucking forgot about this until I watched the movie yesterday, I forgot that they had the sliding fucking cage doors.
Remember, Metlakatla did that for a while.
We had those. Those were in the 80s, man. They went into the wall, and they went up during Chief games and after hours.
Yep.
And I remember all of us shaking it. David Nelson, Mr. Nelson, would come around. What the hell are you guys doing? We'd stop, act like it wasn't us.
Nobody else around.
You know, but that instantly brought me back to the 80s,
yeah,
man.
Remember you know, as soon as they opened the gate, everybody, just like in the movie, was flooding through the...
That's exactly how it was, too. Because if you remember, too, even for us, and even though we weren't in high school in the 80s, but we had classes. We had PE sometimes at the high school gym.
Mm-hmm.
We had band class.
Yep.
And
some of us native art, some of us auto shop, wood shop.
Yeah, exactly, man. So seeing that, just it brought back, like I said, nostalgia is a huge drug for me, man.
Oh,
and seeing that, all I could do is laugh in the best possible way when I saw that. Now that's super unsafe now if you think about it.
Yep.
But it's just like, I literally said, holy fuck, I forgot they had those gates, man.
Yep. Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, so seeing that was like, just like, oh, fuck, like I said, the best movies are the ones you could relate to. And seeing that, it's just like, oh, it wasn't just us, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then I started trying to think, because then we would come over here for the Christmas Classic or Regionals. But we were kind of all over the place at K-High. And I think they even had it, too, back in the 80s.
Yeah, they did. And the building actually changed quite a bit over the years, too. When they remodeled K-High, it turned into this big, beautiful building.
This is like I remember thinking it was like a college when we'd come over to play.
Exactly.
I came over one time right after, I think it was like in 93 when they did their upgrade. I was just like, holy shit, look at this fucking commons area, man.
Yeah.
I was over here for basketball, and I was just like, holy shit, man.
Yeah, it was stunning.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember the old KI.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, shit, think back to just our high school.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about from you came in 91 and graduated in 95, right?
Yep.
So just think about that high school.
Yeah, crazy. Look at how much that's changed.
Yeah. It's just, it's amazing, man. I love it when I go home, because I'll go either pick up my sister or go see my brother-in-law while they're working. And I'm always just like, man, it's awesome to see the high school like this, you know? Yeah. But... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that even Metlakatla High School is ever evolving.
Yeah.
Every time I've been over there, something else has changed.
Yeah.
And it's getting more and more beautiful there.
I like it, man. It's definitely, I'm...
Much needed upgrades.
Yeah. I don't like it when I hear people like our age, it's fucking bullshit. Could you imagine if we had that? I'm like, dude, I'm happy, man. Because if it doesn't, just because my daughter doesn't go there or she's out of high school now, it's like... How many friends I grew up with that their kids are there now, and then they got all these great opportunities.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool.
Now, I've talked to my parents, and they said when they were in high school there that they had no walls.
Yeah, if you remember, okay, think back to middle school, maybe even go back to elementary school, going up to where Mrs. Holt's class was.
Yep.
And then you got the computer class. It was one of those retractable hard plastic walls.
Yes, it was.
Do you remember that?
I do remember. Holy moly.
Yeah. So we got in on, so that stuff was probably new when our parents were in high school.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, it's like, I remember that.
Yeah.
One other thing about this movie too was there's this scene in the classroom, and I was like, holy shit, man. And I fucking leaned forward because I was getting real serious at this point, you know? And there was this girl in the movie that had a mohawk mullet, man.
Yes, I saw that.
And it was dyed blonde even, man. I was like, hell yes.
I wondered if you were going to point that out.
Yeah. All I could do was laugh and just like, that's fucking awesome, man.
Now, that was back in the days of... Yeah, everything was moving into punk rock at that time, I think, right?
Well, the early 80s, there was the people were rebelling against, the music world was rebelling against disco.
Ah, yeah.
So then in the late 70s, there was what the hell was this movie called? I think Whiskey A Go-Go was in L.A., but... there was this fucking bar that opened up in over in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that Studio 54?
No, that was a club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a club. Sorry, I'm just trying to get they put a movie out about it too, but I'm just looking it up right now. Career. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not familiar with that movie.
Oh, motherfucker. But with the, with people going up against how much they didn't like, CBGB.
CBGB.
Yeah. It was, if you remember, you used to see Axl Rose in a little club singing, and he had a black shirt that said CBGB on it.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
This, hold on, I'll bring it up. I fucking had a brain fart. So, it was conceived as country and bluegrass, but it wasn't popping off, so he switched it over to that. But he said, the only thing you guys got to do is, all this is original music. Now, this is where Blondie and the Ramones, and then this punk rock swell just kind of started coming to a head there, you know?
Wow.
And then, which led to, like, more mainstream Mohawks and mullets, like what we're discussing. That's the tie-in is where I'm going.
And then we also had, like, the spiked Mohawk and the rooster dews and stuff like that.
Yeah, and some people would just have rat tails, you know, but...
I was one of them.
Yeah, I wanted one. I remember I had a mullet, and I was down at Narbona's place. And I put it in a fucking ponytail because I wanted my rat tail dyed like Sting's.
Oh, yeah.
And I fucking had such jet black fucking native hair that when me and him put the blonde dye into it, it turned that brown.
Oh, yeah.
And then took the rubber band out because we borrowed it from Marcel and took it out. And then it was just like a very bad fucking brown hair dye job that wasn't even a rat tail. Anyways, so yeah, you saw this get more and more mainstream, especially in Hollywood at this time. Because like you said, we saw some people just have the straight mohawk, some people had the spiked and then the mohawk, then people actually had spikes, and then the mullet.
Yep.
But yeah, this was a mullet mohawk. It was glorious.
Glorious, yeah. Yeah. So there were a few things in this movie that, yeah, really kind of catch your attention. But one that I thought was kind of sad was that nobody even noticed that Mr. Stiles had, you know, played by Royal Dano, died in his class.
Yeah, that was pretty insane to see, man.
It happened so quietly that nobody had noticed, because the guy would, you know, just class would start and then he would pull up his paper and go to sleep.
Yeah.
So class went on for the entire day before anybody found out that he was actually dead.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And just us as the audience know he died because he's like, ugh!
Yep.
And then I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot about this.
Oh, man. So this movie really touches on a few sensitive subjects. You talked about it earlier about students being pushed through the system without being able to read or write,
mm-hmm.
or without having the full education.
Yep.
Now, they also touch on statutory rape.
Oof.
This was horrible.
That was tough to see. Now, I'm not against stuff like this being put in movies because it fucking needs a lot more fucking attention than what it actually has.
This kind of shit really happens.
Like, when that happened, I just went, oh, man. And immediately, I just saw that guy as a scumbag the rest of the movie, you know?
And That guy was Troy, played by Art Matrano, also played in Police Academy.
Yeah.
The young lady he was messing around with was Laura Dern.
Yeah.
Her character's name was Diane. She was 16 years old. And the movie gets into teen pregnancy.
Yeah.
And abortion.
Which, made me think, too, of like, besides this, what other movie did you see abortion talked about happening?
I don't really know. Quite a few. I just can't remember any.
Off the top of my head, yesterday was Fast Times at Richmond High.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
And The Last American Virgin.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that movie.
Two comedies. Now, you throw this one in as a black comedy. Those are three comedies that kind of handle some serious, serious situations. Man. Yeah. It's crazy that it was comedy that did that.
Yep. And they really put light on it. I mean, not making light of it, but they're pointing out, hey, this kind of shit really does happen.
Yeah, it was like, like, I was just like, holy shit. And then, like, as soon as he pulled the blinds down, I was like, oh, this guy's a scumbag.
Yeah, exactly. And then you see him at police academy, he's still a scumbag.
Yeah, because he's a funny scumbag in
yeah, exactly.
And like you said, too, he looked totally different. He was fucking jacked up, had mm-hmm. a fucking beard.
And he was really fit.
Yeah,
holy
yeah.
crap, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, seeing that, I was just like, I cringed, but I was like, yeah, it needed to be in there.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. You had it. So, it also touches on guns in school. Now, toward the beginning of the movie, we see a teacher open her briefcase, and she's got a loaded gun in her yeah. briefcase.
Well, the reason she has that is the scene before is Crispin Glover's character, for whatever fucking reason, no reason whatsoever, attacks his teacher and bites his hand.
Yeah.
But
he looked like he had some serious mental issues before any of that happened.
It was... Yeah, let's touch on him.
He was also being bullied.
Yeah. He plays... If you could show me a normal character that he had played one time, I will be shocked.
Yeah.
Okay? So, he plays...
He specializes in the weird
characters. Yeah. So, like, his character in here is like... I don't want to say antisocial because Ralph Macchio is his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
But he is, like, very socially inept.
Yes. Very much.
Like
very withdrawn.
Yeah, like, you feel bad for him. You know, especially when he's getting beat up and Ralph Macchio knows it, runs and pulls the guys off him. And then he's like, I need you to get me a piece, man. He's like, what are you talking about? And Macchio knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But he's like, what are you talking about? No. He's like, that's fucking bullshit. I never done anything to that guy. Then you're just, your heart sinks a little more.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think they ever actually showed why he was being picked on. They just... showed a guy on top of him punching the shit out of him.
Yeah, there's just bullies. I mean, me and you know, me and you used to get beat up in Mount Ocala.
Oh, yeah.
Walking home.
Yep.
And we're getting kicked in the side by fucking Paul Askren when we were walking home. I was almost home, too. I remember being so scared because I was like, oh, we're going to see him because he lives down the street here. And then, like, he fucking rode by on his bike and fucking just kicked me right in the fucking side as he rode by.
Holy crap, man.
And I never done anything to that guy. So, you, like I said, the better movies you relate to.
Yeah, for sure.
Now people are going to say, well, you're not fucking, you don't relate to Endgame. Okay, man, I read the comics. Fuck you. I'm just saying shit like this, fuckface.
Yeah.
Some fucking wind today after I said there was no wind today.
Fuck, man. I just felt the garage.
Yeah.
Feel like it was shaking. Holy crap, man.
But and I didn't mind them not telling us why. You know, I mean, you see Ralph Macchio's character. He gets fucking slapped by his dad.
In front of the
school.
In front of the administration there, yeah.
And nobody did shit except for Nick Nolte. You see that, so then you could only imagine... If they showed that, Ralph Macchio's best friend, like you said, there's obviously something wrong with him. People fucking see his difference as fucking weird and need yep. to make fun of it. It's just like, you feel bad for this kid, man. Yeah,
exactly.
And that wasn't the first time he got beat up,
mm-hmm.
you know?
He was picked on by fellow students and by teachers.
So when he bites his teacher, it's like, what the fuck, man? And then like that next scene... Or the scene after when the teacher's hand is wrapped up, then you see that lady open up her briefcase and she has a fucking loaded weapon, man.
She's got a fucking loaded revolver.
Yeah. Which is crazy to think, you know, how many times... And think about the teacher's lounge. That brought me back to Burdine Smith.
And everybody's smoking in there.
Everybody's smoking. I remember having to go in there for something. Saw Burdine and a couple of the other teachers smoking in there. And I was like, oh, I was just told I need to grab this. Oh, okay. Go ahead and grab a root beer. Really? Tell me twice. That's what it reminded me of was yeah. Burdine smoking.
Yeah, and they were heavy smokers back in the day.
Yeah.
So, once again, you know, we talk about the guns in school.
Yeah.
Now, toward the end of the movie, there's this... what do you call that? They're under scrutiny by the student who's suing the school.
Former student.
Yeah. And they're looking for a fall guy, so they pick Nick Nolte's character.
Yep.
And they're going to cut his ass and blame everything on him.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, this is why we let him go and what all this other crap.
Well, he wasn't telling them what he was going to say at the at his cross-examination.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to know, and he wouldn't tell them what he was going to say or what he wasn't going to say.
Yeah.
So they started panicking, and you see that panic building up throughout the movie.
Yep.
Because one, you could, as we learn more and more, like even his former student thought that he was not a piece of shit, but like thought that he was just like, eh, I'm just pushing this kid through, fuck this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody had these preconceived notions about him, and they were all wrong at the end, you know?
Yep. And one of the other teachers actually touched on this, is that they were following the system.
Yep.
That they were just pushing these kids through. Nobody gave a shit.
Yep.
That they're just pushing them through.
Yep.
Getting them through to get them through.
Yeah.
That was the mentality of it.
And it's just nuts to think that this is...
This was something that was really going on.
Yeah. Well, it's just nuts that... I mean, there were some funny moments in there, I guess, to consider it a black comedy, which reminded me of Election from 99. Just weird shit, man.
Yeah. So... As all this meeting is going on to get rid of Nolte, you know, the lady teacher opens her briefcase again, and she's checking for her gun, and it's missing.
Oof.
At this same time, the police are going through and doing a locker search.
Well, they showed up, the cops showed up, and they said, we got a search warrant, and we're going to search the lockers like 50 through 200.
Yeah, and it seemed like it was just a random thing.
Yeah, because at this point in time, the cop showed up at the beginning of the movie, the first scene of the movie, like, hey, man, that kid's bleeding. We know the kid. Like, that, the joke in the first 5 minutes is nobody gives a shit about this kid who got stabbed. Like, everybody's, hey, man, that kid's bleeding. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and we're taking care of it.
We're taking care of it. Hey, you know that kid's bleeding? Yeah, we're taking care of it. And then the cop comes in. Hey, man, there's a kid bleeding there. Yeah, we're taking care of it. So the cops are interweaved kind of in the background throughout the movie. And then we get to this point to where they come in and then I just got like this uneasy feeling. I was just like, oh, man.
Yep.
You know? And then they start checking and then they found like all these drugs and pills and fucking pipes in one.
And this was supposed to be one of the star students. They called him a narc.
Yeah. Well, go back really quick. Nick Nolte makes a deal with his students.
Yeah.
You guys could do whatever you want, but just teach me then. Tell me how you see this school. Ralph Macchio takes a camera and starts just taking these random, not random pictures, but like a teacher sleeping,
yep.
You know. It's just like he has a point, you know. He's showing that it's not them. They want to be there. The teachers don't want to be there.
So. Exactly.
But one of them is he takes a picture of the class A, the fucking good, the good quote-unquote student, and then his best friend, Crispin Glover, runs up behind and has a sign that says NARC. And
an arrow pointing at the kid?
Yeah. This is the locker they open is that kid's locker, and it's just like you start laughing, man. I did, anyways.
Yeah, the irony.
Yeah.
Somebody setting him up, obviously.
Yeah. It was crazy, though, right?
Yep. While the police are questioning him... Crispin Glover's character runs to his locker.
His panic.
Yeah, because he knows he's got that gun in there.
Yep. Now, I'm assuming he stole that gun, right?
Yeah. They don't really tell you.
They don't,
But you can see he's unhinged at this point.
He kind of looks confused when he sees the gun. So I'm wondering if somebody planted it on him.
Yeah, it could be.
It's just they leave it open to interpretation, which is good and bad.
Yeah. Well, he reaches in there and he pulls it out and he's... at this stage of panic, and the police are yelling, put the gun down, put the gun down.
Yeah.
And he kind of haphazardly points it at somebody. And the police open fire.
He, like I said, he panics. Like, he's got this look of panic on his face. Like, did it get planted on him, or is he just instantly regretting him stealing the gun?
Yeah.
Because he knows he's fucked.
Yep.
A lot of people don't like him. He gets beat up a lot. The teachers pick on him and turn a blind eye. So, like, all these things are running through my head.
Yeah, exactly. And they shoot him dead.
Ugh.
Horrible situation.
Yeah. It's just crazy, man.
But overall, this movie was a great, great movie.
It was, if you have Vudu, you could rent it for $4.
Or you can buy it.
Yeah.
Which is what I did.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been looking for this movie for a long time and haven't been able to find it anywhere.
Yeah.
And it just happened to pop up on Vudu. I was like, hey, hell yeah. I haven't seen this in a long time. I loved this movie when I was younger. I want to see it again.
I honestly don't remember. I mean, I want to say it was in the 90s probably the last time I got to see this movie.
It's probably about the same time for me.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a horror movie. Mm-hmm. But I really love this one, and I give this movie, Teachers, 1984, a solid rating of 4 chainsaws out of 5.
Yeah. I'll go with 3.5, and I'll go with 3.5 because I would have liked... I don't mind having to make up your own mind in certain instances, but I would have either liked to see why Nick Nolte's character...
Gave up.
Not, I don't want to say give up, but you could clearly tell that he had an enthusiasm when he first started. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. I'm not a teacher. I have teacher friends here. But for the most part, they're upbeat. And, you know, I know people, like, get cynical with age and whatnot. Maybe that's what they wanted us to think. I would have liked to see at least an explanation for Crispin Glover's character. Because mm-hmm. sometimes there's just weird kids out there.
Yeah.
No, it's not the parents' fault. It's just how, I don't know, maybe the way the kid, I guess maybe it is their fault. I don't know, man. Some kids are just weird. Doesn't make it wrong. But then other people, especially in younger age, especially in the 80s, not saying now it doesn't happen, but like, you see a weird kid, you're going to make fun of him.
Yeah.
You're going to pick on him. Then when they come back at you, you take that as a sign. Some people take it as a sign as, fucking disrespect and beat your ass for that shit, man. I just would have liked to see at least one explanation for those two.
Yeah.
For those two things. But yeah, I'll give it 3.5 chainsaws.
Sweet.
All right. I enjoyed it, though.
Yeah, I love this one. Now, just quickly, did you have a favorite character in the movie?
Yeah, it was Ralph Macchio.
Okay.
And my reason being for that is... you get to see a little bit of his background. You find out he can't read.
Mm-hmm. And you see his vulnerability.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's just like... but then he takes all these pictures on how he sees the school, which is a reflection. And you see Nick Nolte smiling, doing that, oh, that son of a bitch. Like you always get in movies when yep. people start understanding each other. But what it opens up Nick Nolte's eyes to is like, oh... these kids want to be here. It's us, the teachers, that don't want to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I like him. That's why he's my favorite.
No, that's excellent. Now, my favorite character in the movie was played by Richard Mulligan, who was the crazy man who came in to substitute teach. Now, his first day of class was awesome because he's just standing there in front of the class and everybody's just staring at him.
Nobody says shit to him.
Nobody. And he wasn't even supposed to be there, realistically.
Well, we don't find out until the end. Because then he... his first day in class, he walks over to the closet. And he dresses up as Abraham Lincoln.
Everybody thinks it's a joke. And then he puts on the show of...
They're laughing. This motherfucker doesn't stop.
No, he doesn't. And they see how serious he is. Yeah. And everybody gets quiet. And then he goes into that 4 score and 7 years ago.
Yeah. And then you see throughout, he's just woven into this movie as a background character. But every time you see him, he's doing an eccentric way of teaching.
Which is amazing because he's touching every one of these kids.
Yeah, like when they recreate George Washington going over the...
crossing the Delaware.
Yeah. Every kid is engaged. He even has their desk set up as the boat.
Yep.
He's dressed up as George Washington, and he has the kids reenacting everything down to a T. Then it's just like, huh. He's touching these kids and making them learn to where, like, they don't want to be made to learn, but they want to learn his way.
It's exactly. Cool. And this made him so much fun to watch because mm-hmm. he didn't know what he was going to do next.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome.
At the end of the movie. Towards the end of the movie, we see the principal show up with the cops. Or not even cops. They're dressed in white. They're yep. nurses. And he's like, you're not even so-and-so. You're this person. You belong in a loony bin. Get out of my school. And he's dressed up as fucking Custer.
Yep.
Fuck that shit. Anyways, good.
They're walking him down the hallway, and he says, get your hands off me. Do you realize who I am? And he said, yeah, you're General Custer. No. I'm a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he stops and talks to Nick Nolte.
Yep.
Who never judged him and then saluted him.
Yep. And was, then he makes his exit.
Yeah.
And
that's it for him.
Yeah, it was epic, though.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy, man.
His character throughout the movie was just so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
That's what made him my favorite.
Yeah.
But that's all we have for tonight there, folks. Bruce, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
I want to give a big shout out to all of my friends up and down the Alaskan coast, all the way down to Washington and Arizona. Stay safe out there, everybody. This is Horror After Hours signing off. Hello, this is the Naughty Guy, Adam J. Keep listening to Horror After Hours with the Naughty Guy, as my friends and I, we discuss some of our favorite movies and some of our favorite novels. Bear Crossing Bed and Breakfast. We have a beautiful view which overlooks downtown Ketchikan. You can find us on the Airbnb app or on Facebook. You can contact us through either of these apps for any information. Skyler's Table offers cafeteria-style dining, fresh soups and salads, and paninis. And all of his meats are roasted fresh daily. If you're looking for great food, great prices, and even better company, come to Skyler's Table, a place for visitors. Podcast Swatting Flies, Telling Lies. If you like a fun, crazy podcast with loads of information that you didn't know you need, give this one a listen. Bruce's show is always a lot of fun. You never know what he's going to say next, and I'm always tuning in to find out. Next, I got Lazy Mountain Brewing Company, located in Palmer, Alaska, owned by Neil and Sarah Gottschall. They're providing quality craft beers with crisp, clean flavor. Look for Lazy Mountain Brewing Company on Facebook. You will also find their beers all around the Anchorage area. They're just good, honest beers. That's, again, Lazy Mountain Brewing Company. Also look for my friend Danny's podcast. That's Hinterlands Media, where he discusses current topics and conspiracies. And also look for his new podcast called Hinterland Storytime. This should be a lot of fun. This is where he discusses his favorite fantasy, sci-fi novels, movies, and games. This really should be a lot of fun. Danny's a lot of fun, so give both his shows a listen. I know I will. And finally, The Naughty Guy. I finally have a Facebook page. Check it out. Give me a like and a follow to see all of my latest network. You can find my network in a few of the local stores around Ketchikan. You look for Maiden Voyage, Scanlan Gallery, and also the Alaska Outpost. Tell them the Naughty Guy sent you. Thanks a lot, folks. Keep listening.